Baker's meeting. So, Dan, I'll leave it over to you now.
Well, thank you so much, Adam. Thank you for hosting, and thank you for Tony in the background. And thank you to all of you that are here today to listen to Dan H. My name is Dan H. I'm a compulsive gambler. And you know what? Give me one second. We got to start the timer. I'm not only am I going to be speaking, but I'm also going to try to take care of things. And I, of course, I didn't do it right. Hey, Siri, set a 15-minute timer. So I bet you all here to listen to Wenda, and I want to ask you a big favor. If you, I know you're going to want to leave, but please don't leave at once. Just kind of go out slowly. Unfortunately, Wenda wasn't able to make it. Last minute, higher power moment came up, and it was impossible for her to make it. Completely understandable, because we are human beings and things happen, and we here at these meetings, I at this meeting, learn how to deal with unexpected situations. And I'm also grateful that the higher power is giving me the opportunity not to know about it till about 10, 15 minutes ago, so I didn't have to think about it. But at the same time, I don't have any notes. I have a bunch of stuff that I've had written down from the last time I spoke, and I added to it, and I was thinking one day I'm going to be doing this again. And it'll be nice to have it all arranged and organized correctly, and it's going to be a beautiful share. Well, that's not how life is, And I could try to do it that way, but in actuality, life gets tricky, life gets difficult, So I could have easily just said, let's do a speaker, let's do just a, what do you call that? A topic share. We can do a topic share, we skip 1 week, what happens? No big deal. We've never missed one though. Or maybe we missed one. I don't remember, but I don't remember in over 5 years and 8 months or so, we've never missed a meeting as far as a Tuesday meeting where we had a speaker. On the fourth Tuesday, we get James M. We're so fortunate to have him from the UK to come in and do our meditation. But insofar as speakers, we've always had a speaker. So what can I do? This puts me in a great position because not only am I able to ad lib this thing now and be able to put a couple of things to get a few notes in my mind, but nothing compared to what I should be doing. But it's okay. It's okay because I'd rather have me disorganized and be able to, because this way, I mean, basically, this is what life is about. So I'm going to have to just take care of it. So I'm going to ask your permission again or assistance. And, it's going to be all over the board. I'm not sure if I'm going to go back in time, come back and forth. I'm going to be talking about one thing, maybe get to another one. I have no idea what's going to happen next, but I know one thing for sure. I trust that my higher power will get me through this, and that's what it's all about, and that's what these meetings really are about. I have the confidence that, what's going to come out is going to be what needs to come out, and hopefully it helps somebody. It really does. That's why I come to these meetings all the time. And if anybody, it's going to help me because it's going to put me in a situation where I know I can handle things at the last minute, things I'm not really comfortable doing. This is not something I really want to do, which makes it even more important that I do it. Because that's where true growth is. And that's what I've been told. Everything I tell you, I learn from somebody else. I wish I had original thoughts. I had one or two. Horrible. It came out wrong. I mean, nobody understood it, but I did. And I gave up on that and I tried something different. So it's better for me to get the experience and hope from somebody else and be able to share that because my way of doing things led me here, And when I say that, it's really not a bad place to be, really. It's difficult in the beginning. It's very difficult to stop gambling, and there's withdrawal symptoms, just like narcotics and drugs and alcohol and smoking, But once we get past that, once I got past that, and I was able to get out of that withdrawal and start attending meetings and taking them seriously, things changed a little bit. I got a little more, things became better and better, and then higher power moment again. Frank wasn't able to take care of this meeting that much anymore. So I was here. What does that do for me? That gives me the opportunity to be in recovery. And what does that mean really? It means that I have to help others to get help for myself. I have to give it away to get it. So let me tell you a little bit of my story and then we'll talk about recovery as well. I started off a difficult childhood, but I'm gonna put that in perspective too. What is difficult to me, I just had an experience tonight that really was a higher power moment. But we'll get to that a bit later. It put things in perspective for me a lot tonight. So basically, I started off very young. We came to the United States when I was 7. I didn't speak a word of English. We didn't have any money. Things were very rough. I had one pair of shoes, and that's the only thing I had. And I was 7 years old, so I scuffed them up. I was playing around. I messed them up. I only had those shoes. There was nothing else. So I had to go back the next day. They were clean, but they were had holes, and they were scratched. So unfortunately, people made fun of me, and kids can be so cruel, And I didn't even understand it for the most part, except the spitting that I could understand that. I would come to school in the morning and everybody turned in their homework and I looked around. I had no idea what that meant, So then they decided to pick on me again. That's, it's the weirdest thing, the person that really needs the help. It's like what these bombers come in, we are here to help each other. We are here to save lives, to save our lives. This is serious stuff. This is not a joke. Sometimes we play around and we joke and we have, and that's supposed to be that way. In recovery, we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to enjoy life. But in reality, I mean, and the other part of it is that it's a life or death situation here. People die. People commit suicide for this thing. People can't go on. They destroyed, I mean, and again, I'm talking about, I destroyed my life. I took away from my family. I took away from my bad things. And then sometimes it's too much to move on, to go forward. And it's easier just to take the easy way out, and I have to say, I got to that point a couple of times, but I didn't do it, obviously. It would be a whole different share at this point. So I started early. So basically, let's go back to that. So they made fun of me, whatever else. And I see suddenly I was very observant. I still am. I can see a lot of things. It's a curse, really. I can see everything, and I have to see it. But I saw these couple of boys on a corner, really like hiding. And what they were doing, they were flipping coins and gambling with nickels and dimes and pennies, whatever. And I thought I went over there. I'm telling you, I was instantly hooked. It's like at 10 years of age, I didn't know what it was really, but I knew I wanted it really badly. And to find out, that Vegas is around, right? Las Vegas, that's all we had back then. There was no Indian casinos. There was no online bet. There was no online at all. We had pagers back in those days, and that was something if you had a pager. So there was no gambling on phones. There was no gambling on the computer. You had to go to Las Vegas to gamble. I guess there was bookies. I never got into that. It was mostly Vegas. My parents, unfortunately, took me to Vegas a lot. All their vacations, everywhere we went, was either Vegas, Lake Tahoe, Reno. What's that other one? Lake Havasu, where they have that now for older people. And everything I went, and everywhere I went, there was a casino there. So when we went to Vegas, we went to the Stardust, I mean the Circus, because that's they have a whole top floor for kids over there, for kids. What do they have up there? They have games where you have to win tickets so you can get stuffed animals and toys. It's gambling on a different level. But all I cared about was looking over the rail up there and seeing the, because of course the casino was wide open. That's what I wanted. There was, my blood was boiling. I was so upset that I was so young and I wasn't able to go down there and I couldn't play that game. I didn't want a stuffed animal. I didn't. And even if I did make the baskets and I got the tickets, it didn't matter. I wanted that. And I couldn't wait for the time. Now I can't wait for the time to go backwards and, slow down here, but I couldn't wait for it. So I didn't wait for it. I didn't. I found a way to gamble at a young age. There was a pool hall slash arcades. There was no video things. It was all the old-fashioned ball, coming down, but it was there. So you can play a game for a dime, and you could get like four or five games for a quarter. And but it was also a pool hall, so there were pool sharks in there. And of course, I'm a kid. I don't play pool, but the people up front that gave change, they were playing cards. They were playing blackjack. And of course, there I go again. Boom! Forget the games. I don't care about the video game. I don't care about the pinball machines. I really don't care if I win a game or I care about what's happening with those cards. I see money getting exchanged. I see people getting upset. I see people getting happy. And it's money, it's gambling. And why God, can I play? They, well, of course, come here, kid. They had no problem taking my money. I was about 14 years of age. Well, unfortunately, again, it seems like this curse of the devil here. I won, and I won big, and I can't believe this to this day. I rode my bicycle there, and when I left, I took all their change. I took bags of quarters. I took all their dollar bills. I emptied them out. about $700, $800. And that time, I mean, that was money. And they begged me to give them about 40 or something in quarters. They would give it, come back tomorrow, and we'll give it back to you. But we have to have these quarters and dimes, otherwise we can't even open the place up, or even keep going. So I did. I gave them the 40, 50 in quarters. That was nothing, because it made my ride home a lot lighter. I had these bags, the heavy bags of change. I had to balance my bike and cash in the, and it was dollar bills. It was full. All my pockets were full of change, And I'm like, my God, what is this? This is awesome. I was so happy. I couldn't even sleep, The only thing I thought about all night is going back there. Going back there. And it wasn't to give, I don't care about giving their money back. I wanted more, right? And I went back the next day. I didn't bring the change or anything. Maybe I went back to get my $40. Well, I think everybody knows where that went. Had to bring the change back. I bought everything back. I lost everything. And it continued going. Now, I'm 16 years of age. We're still going that rail. I'm looking over that rail. I get my car. I get up. My parents buy me a car. 16. So I'm really young looking. I'm going to have a really hard time getting into the casinos. So Hollywood is close by, and I mentioned this before, and they have a, makeup studios there. They have makeup stuff and wigs and clothes. You can dress yourself up as anything you want, Chewbacca, whatever. So I decided to get that stuff that makes wrinkles. It makes your face all wrinkly. And then I got solar glasses. I got the hat. I got this old coat. I got a cane so I can make myself look worse. So I probably look like 70, whatever, 60 or 70. But this is what I'm trying to say is this is a story, but what I'm trying to say, the lengths I went through. I'm supposed to be in school. I'm supposed to be a son, a kid playing soccer or playing basketball, whatever. No. And by the way, I've never had any of that in my life. I never did any of that. I was gambling since then. So that pool hall became a major place for me to lose at that age. Now you're asking, where did I get the money, right? How can a kid like that get this kind of money? Well, I got lucky sometimes, and I would get back and forth, but as well, I would take. And when I say take, steal from my parents. They had a little business, they had some money there, and I knew my dad where he kept his change and money in his desk, and he locked it. He locked it. So there's no way to get into a big, heavy desk. But me, if I go underneath it and I open a little panel where I go, and there's something I can pull, and it opens the drawer, leaving the main thing open, but that drawer opens up. So look at the conniving. And I would take just enough so he wouldn't notice. I thought, that he wouldn't notice, but I kept doing it. And again, what lengths do I go through? Not only if it's there, but I have to go break it open to be able to get to it. And I put the thing back, and he never knew. I thought, I probably the poor man thought he was going crazy. So Vegas walked right in. I looked like an old person. Actually, no. The strip, I went there, but I went to downtown where they didn't really care. I walked right in. I won a nice big sum of money for that time. Again, wow, look at this. I knew it. I just had to put the makeup on and get in there. It was just a matter of time before I made my money. Well, it was a big enough amount of money where I had to go back seven times to lose it. But I lost it within a day. At one time, you could go to PSA in Burbank, and you can fly round trip to Las Vegas and back on the hour for $19. So I went back one time in 4 days, and the rest of it came back the next day. But it was gone, all gone. And then chasing again. And again, what lengths do I go through to who does that? And what I did, I didn't take it all with me because what if I lose? I come back. So I left some money in the car too. I had it all set up. And I lost. I went back. And then I got to be 21. And then I got to be 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. Never stopped. I stopped at 59, but it went all the way through. Yeah, there were some moments, a few months here and there. Maybe I lied about it. I came to meetings. My first meeting, I was 27 years of age. I looked around and I came to the meeting not with the intention of stopping gambling. That was never my issue. I won. I had these wins, and that was what kept me going. I never kept any of it, but it gave me that hope that I'm going to make this big win, and hope that promises, right? The dream world is going to come true for me, and I'm going to have everything I need in life from gambling. I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to do any of those things. I'm going to get the yachts. That's my dream world. And it continued. So at 27, I came in. I found out I started. I couldn't figure out why I kept losing. I made it and I lost it. I'm thinking, I've got to get help. I've got to get help. And this is the God's truth there. I got to go to somewhere where they can teach me how to gamble the right way. And what better place than this? I looked up Gamblers Anonymous. It's not only they're going to give me everything, but they're anonymous. They're secret organization that they're keeping these secrets very tight. And when I found out that they just gave me the address to go there, what the heck? I thought this was hard to get into, this club. So I walk in there. I'm really happy. I'm going to find out how I'm going to keep my money, how to gamble it responsibly. Again, these are professionals and they're going to show me how to do it. Well, within a few minutes, I realized, whoa, 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 whoa. This is completely opposite of what I was thinking about. They want me to stop. I just had a big win. They want me to stop. Are you kidding me? These losers. So I walked out of there. I was like, I'm done. And there were older people telling me, if you want what I got, I don't want anything that you've got. I'm good with this. Never realizing, what if I would have stopped then, but I didn't. And I can't go back. That's another thing. If I get to it, the regrets of the past, what I could have done better in the past. And I'm not worried about the present because I'm worried about the past, the guilt, and then the fear of the future. I'm never here. I never was here. So what happens next? Where was I? So we get to Vegas, come back, this and that. So basically it took its toll. I didn't stop. It took its toll. I got married. I was very happy. I found a beautiful woman. She really cared for me. I loved her. I thought I loved her. I do. I did love her. I just, my actions. Words mean nothing in this world, I find out. It's actions that count. I mean, how many times have I wanted to stop? How many times did I say, I'm going to stop gambling? I'm done with this shit. I'm never going to, where's Bill B? I'm not going to do this, Again, I'm done. I no more. And I kept going back. And it was almost like if some, in the live meetings, they used to say, and then you take the shower in the morning and oh, I'm revised again. I forgot that somehow my illness makes me forget about everything that just happened, the destruction I just done, and gives me this hope again to just one more time, just one more time. And I was weak. I mean, I was a compulsive gambler. As a compulsive gambler today, I realized I've never had a chance. The only chance I had was to destroy myself and the people around me. The only chance I really had was to stay in Gamblers Anonymous and take it seriously. Didn't do that. My ego's way too much for that. I couldn't take that. And the fact that I was lucky and I would win, I would never win and take it home. I mean, a couple of times because I had to go. I had to, but not that because I wanted to. I really had to go. But trust me, my first opportunity, within a day, I was back again and took it all out. I would play games that I didn't understand. I don't know what they were, because in these card clubs out here back then, they didn't have all these other games, but they had these tiles, some Asian tiles, whatever. Then they don't even open up, they feel them from underneath or something. I had no idea what that meant. I don't even know how to play it, but you could play behind the player, right? So I'm betting huge amounts of money behind someone, and that person, they can turn around and they can say, I lost. I have no idea. I'm looking at these things, I have no idea what they were. And I got lucky there too, but of course I lost it. So it's not even fun. I'm not even playing it. I'm just, it's just for the action. It's just to get that dopamine, to get that action. I realized today. What an insanity. And that's just the beginning. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And then, finally the win came. That whole big thing that to get the big win, everything is going to be okay again. It's the promises of GA, but the dream world is a compulsive gambler. Just a matter of time before you get it. Right. And then you get everything you want. Your friends come back. Your wife comes back. You get your sanity back. You're not going to want to destroy yourself anymore. And you're going to live a life of luxury of all the gifts you're going to buy for everybody. And you're just going to be the most loved person in the world, And, I won. I won. I won. I won. I won. I won many, many, many days in a row. And I couldn't believe it. I knew it. I just knew it. I just had to wait. I knew it. Here it is. It's coming back to me. And I believe I was just about even, which means there was a lot of money involved. And so then I think that's it. There it is. I made it. I made my money back. I could start over. It's all good to go. I can do it. But no. So there was a day after day. It's kind of unbelievable, but it was about 32 days straight. I couldn't lose. But it doesn't mean that I was betting big. When I was winning, I was cutting the bets down because I was afraid to lose it. And when I started losing, the opposite. I was doing everything opposite. So on the 33rd day, There was boxes of cash laying around. I didn't tell anybody, but my mom knew. I couldn't tell my wife or anybody else because she's going to take it, right? She's going to want to buy something with it, or might maybe get some thing for the house or something for the kid or whatever. No. That money is gambling money. One of the questions said that, were you reluctant to use gambling money for normal expenditures? That is in the questions. I freaked out when I saw that. So on the 33rd day, again, I didn't take it all at once, a little bit, then I went back. But this was only a half an hour to an hour drive back and home because the casino's here. Oh my God, I went back, I think six, seven times. It was all gone in about six, 7 hours. Gone. Every penny of it. All that boxes was emptied. Now I'm getting desperation. And so my credit cards, bank account, I mean, what I could get off my ATM, which was nothing compared to what I was betting, but I had to get it. And I had to walk in and I had to leave that place with nothing. Nothing. My self-confidence, everything. I was so happy that life has finally changed for me and I've got the opportunity. The big one has come. I had to drive back home empty. And all I could think about, I have this account I can get the money from, and I'm going to do this because now I did it once. It's going to come back again. There's no doubt about it. I can definitely win it back again. Never did. But what I did do, this was, I was so quite a while back, but what I did do is, I emptied out all my money, all my accounts, everything, my 401k. And also the most important thing, my life today, I never realized it then because it didn't mean anything to me then. My wife, my beautiful wife was gone. She left. She left eventually. She tried all she could. She wasn't that she just left. She loved me. She tried to get me to meetings. She was so happy I was going to meetings. She said she likes the strong coffee in the back of the room. She was with me. She tried everything. But no, my desire to gamble, I think I heard somebody in the program say that, was more important to me. It meant more to me than her and my son, because she is together with my son. So if I'm going to do that to her, and so I left, I mean, I kind of, and I said to myself, I told everybody, I'm the best father. My God, I'm the best husband. I treat him so nicely. That's words. And I believed it, like, just like I believed I had this power to win this game. What I didn't understand is, again, I understand it today very, 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 I really get it today. I am a compulsive gambler. It's not a death sentence. No. It just means I can't gamble normally, ever. Again, ever. If I gamble and I win, I take it back and lose it. And most of the time I lose anyway. I heard a funny thing. I'm in Dublin, Ireland right now, of all places, and this is just directly related to Gamblers Anonymous. Where was I with the anyway, I lost my train of thought there for a second because I went to Dublin. So basically, I won the money. This and that. What was it? It was I. So I basically everything I meant, everything that was really important to me, I gave up for this chance to win this money. And the lengths I went through. Again, it's all I always go back to that. I went completely out of my way to do something that I can never do normally. Okay, and from the makeup to the thing to giving up my. I always look at this, and the joke, there was a little thing here. So they said, oh gosh, the guy walks into a casino and he says, higher power, God, please help me, help me, help me, help me, help me win. I need the money very badly. Please let me break even. So I love that one, but so anyway, so I lost everything and it was so sad. But it didn't matter because I still had that thought that as long as I make this big win again, because it happened. That's the problem. It happened. I can, everything will be back. I can get my wife back again. It was not ever about the money. She would not come back even if I made millions. It wouldn't matter. She's gone. She's done. And in life, I see it now today. I am very fortunate, and all of us, but I am very fortunate to find one woman, this one life partner that really cared for me and loved for me. And you might not ever find, I never found it again, but you know what I mean? So I surrendered that. I also gambled that away. And that is a price that is, I don't even know if that money was worth it because I didn't have it anymore. It was, God gave me. We have a beautiful child together and he's still there. And I did what I did. The worst part of it, that is the worst part of it. because I never really thought about myself. I never really cared what happened to me. I didn't sleep. I used medications to keep me going, you know, when I was completely out of it. I smoked normally a pack a day. I was smoking two or three or four packs a day, just going crazy. Drugs keeping me going, no sleep, anger, and just frustration, and I can't remember how many times I almost broke my hand slamming the steering wheel and screaming at the top of my lungs as I left again and lost. And it was all somewhere, and I didn't even think about it. But if anybody were to look into, you know, if the cars, a lot of traffic, and some people can look over and see this maniac screaming, yelling by himself. Oh my God, you know, unbelievable. And it was what it was, you know. So where are we? Everything's gone. But yes, again, one of the most important things I see it today as well. It's not just, and the money is really money. Forget that. The wife and the child was very painful. But now that I look back and have a little bit of serenity and a little peace, I lost 20, not 20, 40, well, 38, to be honest, 38 years of my life. What price do you put on that? What lengths did I go to do so? You know, because of a compulsive gambling problem. Well, I did it. I did it. And at 59, right? I decided to get serious. And it happened in this meeting. God bless the LA Daily meeting, you know. Irv, everybody knows Irv, and again, we're not going to use names, but you know, I was thinking, my God, this guy Frank. And again, Frank's my sponsor. There's no secret there. Everybody kind of knows that already. You know, you think that he would even consider talking to me or maybe wanting to help me somehow? You know, I'm going through a lot, and you know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to be a little open to maybe getting some help because I would not take help from anybody. My parents, nobody, bosses. I mean, I had this ego like you wouldn't believe. It had to be my way, and if it wasn't, oh boy. So, he said, well, you go, why don't you ask him? You know, it's a big deal. Just ask him. He'll say yes or no, or he'll say maybe, or maybe he'll break even. And I did. And the rest is history. You know, it's been 5 years with him and a couple of months. And then, but then I had 5 years then, supposedly, right? And I had to be honest to the fact to say that no, you know, because are you sure your time is right? You know, is there anything that you have in there? Because if we start on a foundation that's not solid, we cannot build anything on it. And it doesn't matter if you have one day today, we're going to build it and it's going to be solid. It doesn't matter if you have a week. I'll never forget this. You have a week, a month, a day, or 10 years. What are you doing right now? How are you doing right now? Because if you have 50 years behind you and you have a rotten, terrible life, what's the point? Who cares your numbers? You know? So it's most important that you start it over. So I thought it really carefully. And I had something on my mind already that I didn't talk. I was still dishonest with myself. There was a trade I made. I was, you know, I was about, you know, so basically, okay, what do you consider? He told me, it's up to you. You want to consider gambling or you want to be, go, you know, let's be honest. And it was gambling. So I started my time over again. But now I'm up to 6 years. And November 29th will be 6 years for me. And it's all started again. It'll be seven, whatever's going to happen, God willing, you know. So let's get to the recovery part real quick. That's where it started, by the way. I had to be open. There's three things. How, right? Honest, that was very important. And I started by telling the truth about my time. Open-mindedness, right? And the willingness, the how. And he told me, we just have to have the door cracked just a touch, just a little. Don't have to swing it open just a little bit. You know, to have that just a little bit of willingness to want to get better and to do the work that's involved. It doesn't just happen. You know, I can talk all I want, but action, we talked that in the beginning, action is what matters. And so I said, let's try for some reason. And again, it's not some reason, you know, it's the higher power, you know, put me connected. I was ready at that point for the help, and the gentleman was ready to help me. And I was ready to do the work, not just talk about it and not just run away again. My life was, it came when I walked in here and I met him. I was a shell of a person. I mean, you can see me today whenever I have to be honest. I pretended I was somebody else. Oh my God, this and that. I was destroyed inside. I had nothing left, you know? And everybody knew it and saw it, including myself, but I didn't see it, you know, because you don't see things when you're in this condition. So that was the first step again. taking action. I saw, and that door opened a little bit. I started doing some of the work, and just a little bit. And guess what? It wasn't much longer where it got pushed open a little bit more, and then more. But that means this is how we have to keep coming back because it doesn't work just one time and it's over. I wish it was, but no, actually, I don't wish it was. I'm enjoying being a compulsive gambler in recovery today. And it took the sponsor, it took somebody to open my eyes to see it because I couldn't see it. I was completely blind in my action. And then after that, even after that, whatever little bit, I would still take it to gamble. So I lost my, it's 15 years later, my wife is gone, my kid is, we're in bad shape, everything, and I'm still doing it, you know, because if I make the big win again, that's in my mind. But it was all fantasy. So the reality of the thing is that I got started doing the work, and then this meeting opened up, you know, and God bless my sponsor. He went through a lot lately, and even then, we have almost a year and a half to 2 years of it. The man is just too much with his partner, and an opportunity opened here. Dan, I need your help. He's my sponsor, right? I mean, and things were getting a bit better for me. I was seeing hope, not quite there, just a glimmer of hope, but it's there, and that glimmer will open. I need your help with the meeting. I love this meeting. I put it together. It helps so many people. You know, I know you're not quite ready to do all this stuff, but hey, why don't you just see what I can do here? And it was just the beginning, a few days, and before I knew it, is 3, 4 days, and before I know it's 6, 7 days, and before I know it, I'm finding speakers, and before I know it, I'm getting involved in so much more, and before I know it, the higher power, I'm starting to get some kind of recovery. I'm seeing hope again. And it's not money. With him, he showed me it's not the money. That's not what's going to make you happy. It's not. I believe material things are going to make me happy, but it's not true. It's not true. I see it today. I wasn't able to see it then. And he even told me many times, you just can't see it yet. It's there. You'll come. Your higher power will let you know. Higher power is in charge of all the results. Higher power decided that I'm speaking tonight and Wanda isn't. I had it already. It was all set to go. You know what they say? Man plans and God laughs. Really? You're going to do that, right? Okay, I'll show you. You know? So I could have easily made it into one of these topic meetings and just sat in the background and, oh, yeah, somebody's new and, yeah, okay, welcome. And then the speakers. No, I decided to take action because I think it's important for me, very important for me. And maybe it might help somebody else, my message. Because that's what it's about. It comes down to this, and I know it's getting good. It comes down to this is being of service and it's being grateful. I cannot be in action and grateful at the same time. Those two doors don't open. One opens, the other one closes. When this one closes, the other one opens. And that's the problem. As a compulsive gambler, with all the recovery in the world, if the right set of circumstances come around and I'm not spiritually ready to handle it, I will go get back gambling without a question. There's no doubt because it's more powerful than I am. It's not me, it's us. As a community, as a group, I found out I can do it with you. It's easy. Every one of you in here, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I mean, I know what I've done, and you're not going to ever, ever criticize me because you probably did it yourself, or maybe worse, or maybe less, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're in the same boat together, and we're going down a right path this time. Because the other boat is like the Titanic, will sink to the bottom, and there's no escaping it. And just like the Titanic, people will die, and people have died. And it's so strange. When I hear that, you know, I forget that how serious this is. Because when things are going well and everything's fine, you forget about the bad things, and that's the insanity of this disease. It makes you do that. So then all of a sudden you forget and you've got to do it again. What have I done? Many times I found myself driving to a casino, not even realizing that I'm doing it without even thinking. I'm so grateful to be here today saying that I have, what is it? On November 19th, it'll be 6 years. And it could be 5 years, 4 years, 10 years. I have a little peace of mind today. So let me share what happened. I got into trouble. Okay, so I have all this time. I have all this whatever. I don't. I really, you know, I mean, I say this because it's good to feel confident about yourself. Some things happened. Something very serious happened that it shocked me again, a trauma, whatever else. So I called. Who do I call? You got to call, right? So I call and I talk to my sponsor about, look, this has happened. Okay. So what am I going to do? What you're going to do is, you're going to pack your bag, and in 2 days, you're going to get on a flight with me, and we're going to go to Dublin, Ireland, and we're going to attend the GA convention in Dublin, Ireland. And you're going to see some of the guys you see here on the meeting. And believe it or not, they know you, and they're you know. I said, what? So yeah, and we were not only were the higher power was able to put us on the same plane together, and we didn't have to pay the extra money to get the seat assignments, and then we had not only get we get to sit next to each other in aisle seats, but there were seats open on next to us too. Wow, isn't that something? I get here for my first conference ever. It's amazing. It's like the College of GA, all these experts. Big Al, I got to meet Big Al. I got to meet Andy. There's so many people that are involved. Again, we shouldn't really mention names, but I got to see so many people that I know from here, and they came to me, and some of them I didn't recognize. And they told me, one person I had no idea, you know, Dan, I came to your meeting about 2 years ago, and I've never really been back, but I will never forget you. And what you said and done to me. You know, this is not ego talking. This is love. And I was like blown away, you know, and I'm thinking my life has changed since then. You know, I'm able to have a job and I'm just my family, my wife, but my son, his life was changed and moved around. And I had something to do with this. Are you kidding me? I mean, I didn't even think I was, again, the worthiness. Am I worthy? You know, because I was so down on myself and I don't deserve it. You know, I don't deserve it, but I do. Because really, we are. I'm just a human being that made mistakes, and I'm trying to correct it, and also make the amends to make it right. So let's finish it with this, because it looks like we're just about past the time, of course. Because I was worried I had nothing to say. Oh my gosh, here it is. I don't even have enough time to finish all this. So I come to Dublin. I mean, we come to Ireland. We go to this beautiful countryside of Ireland. There, Frank has connections and doesn't cost almost anything. And I get to that convention. There's panels there. We everybody just it's like this excitement, this joy, this energy. And I was watching from a distance for a little while, because and I was seeing these people on the couch, and there were people coming, they come and grab and touch, and there was this extreme amount of happiness and ecstatic whatever else. And I thought to myself for a minute here, wow, look at this, compulsive gamblers. How would I ever had any of this when I was gambling? What never would I have seen this kind of stuff there, you know, this true love for one another and wanting each other to succeed and being part of each other. Only thing I did back then, if I had those kind of people, they wanted something from me, or they want to use me, or they're going to be nice to me to take something from me, and me opposite way as well. You know, it was all kinds of lies, deceit, dishonesty, all the bad stuff. Where here it's love. It's honesty. It's helping. It's being of service. It's listening. It's just being there for someone and understanding that you're not alone in this program, you know, and I understand what you're going through, and you can call me when you don't feel bad, you know, and when you feel bad, you need help, and I'm here for you today. He did it for me. I turn around and do it for somebody else, and that's how this works. And with that, it's not, you know, you say we do it for somebody else. I'm doing it for myself first, you know. And if somebody can get the help from it, wonderful. That's great. Because who wants anybody to go through what I did? And so I'm in Dublin now. We spend all that time that I get to spend one night in Dublin in the city center. Crazy, pal. It's just anyway. But with all that, so I go out of the hotel. I have fears still sometimes and that sort of thing. So we talked through all my issues, you know, and it's getting very close to getting completed, because I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it's not just one session. I need a few extra times and I have to get through this. I got to pray. I got the work. There's work to be done. Just snap your fingers and God take care of it. God works through us, a higher power. I call it God, but it's a higher power. I'm not religious really. So I get out on the street, I make a turn, they tell me there's some places to eat here or whatever else. I don't get even 3, 4 minutes down the road, and there's violence right there. Boom, there's two undercover, I guess they have undercover police here, and one guy was probably stealing something, and right there, that, I mean, really violent takedown. And I try to walk away, people are shocked, and there's a gentleman there. God bless him, 3 or 4 teeth. Big smile. I mean, he was shocked too. And what I did, me, I took my camera out. And I was trying to snap some pictures of the. He goes, put it away, put it away. Don't do that, because he is not alone. There's multiple others around, and they know you got his picture. He's gonna come after you. I happened to be sitting next to him, you know, standing next to him. He's gonna come after me too. Put that away. So I did, and I said, thank you, sir, you know. And we started talking a little bit. So we talked about this and that, and he was so happy, and he was proud of his bad teeth. You didn't mind, you didn't care. to find that at the end of the day, he and so what was this? This was higher power right next to me here. You know what he said to me? He said, aren't you afraid? I mean, what's going on? Is it safe to go out here? He goes, I'm safe. It's not safe, but I'm safe. I have my higher power with me. He mentioned God, but higher power is with me. Nothing can happen. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I have faith. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in all this. And he was homeless, for God's sake. I found out he lives with four or five people in a place there. No money. I gave him, I mean, it's just, and then, but he doesn't care about all this. He's got nothing. He is the happiest person. He really, and I could tell. It doesn't take money or objects or anything else. And he has no fear. He'll just don't take pictures. He was worried that I'm gonna, they're gonna come after me. So that was a higher power moment. And for a minute, I turned around and came back. I'm done with this. It's dangerous out there. I knew it. And I would have just lost all this. And at that time, no, wait a minute. This guy has no fear. And I'm looking around. There's old people walking around. It's okay, safe. It just happened in front of me. So I went back out and I spent 3 hours. I took pictures. I went eight. I talked to people. I had the best time of my life because I didn't take my fear and got back to my room and put my head like an ostrich in the sand. I took the action of that higher power has got me too. If it got him, it's got me too, but I have to believe it. And I did it. And I went around. I had the best time around. So that is what recovery does for me. The lengths I went through to gamble and the lengths it takes, just a small little bit of willingness to open that little door crack to get the help you need. And that's it. Thank you so much for letting me go over. I knew that was going to happen. I'm very sorry about that, but I'm not sorry. It is what it is. It came out the way it did. I'm grateful to be a compulsive gambler, and I'm grateful to be in this program with all of you on the road of recovery together. Thank you. God bless you all, and thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much, Dan. That was, well, I mean, for somebody who didn't know what to say at the start of the meeting, it certainly gave us a treat there. And I'm hugely grateful to have Dan H now in the audio shares, and I'm sure everybody at this meeting is. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it from the start, then you've got plenty of time. It'll be available, I would imagine, in 24 hours or so. And now I'm sure there's some people in the room who've got some burning questions for Dan. So we've got some hands up. We'll go to Don A. San Diego.
Hey, Don A., compulsive gambler, no gambling to report. Great job, Dan. Sometimes when you just get like 5 minutes of notice, you come out right from your heart with an amazing share, and you're not even in your country. You're in another country, probably taken away for you spending a couple hours enjoying the beautiful scenery there and meeting some of the legends in the program. And by the way, you are one of the legends, okay? And there's no way around it. You're a role model for a lot of people. I'm kind of that way too, but we don't ever strive to be that way. We just be who we are, and we open up and we help people. And it's just like you did today. I could resonate with your story, but I never went home on a bicycle with my pockets full of coins like you did. So that was an amazing story. And something I do as because I get asked to be a speaker now and then is I line up a bunch of photographs of my life story, from when I was a baby to the different phases of my life. And then I can just put up the picture, and then I can talk for 2 or 3 minutes on each picture. And that's just another tip that I use, so that, if I get called it. And when Wenda told me she couldn't make it today, my ego, well, I was thinking, well, maybe I ought to contact LA Daily and see if they need a speaker today. But I'm so glad that you did it, Dan, and all the way from 5,000 miles away from us, and you shared a terrific message. Love you so much, my brother. And have fun and keep meeting other legends like you. Thank you.
And we've now got Tony F to come in.
Hi, thanks. Tony F, compulsive gambler. I just want to say thanks, Dan, so much. You caught the ball on the 50-yard line and you ran it in for a touchdown. Your story, resonated with me. I'm sure it resonated with so many people, getting into the mind of a compulsive gambler. And you just stated it so perfectly. You've helped so many people. Your service is impeccable. I'm proud to call you a friend and a mentor. You've taught me so much, from, writing the 20 questions, right from the start, how to host, how to co-host, how to take care of security in the rooms. And it's meant so much to me. And I'm thrilled that in October, I got you to meet you in person when I went to visit my daughter in California. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for everything. Thanks for everything you do for the program. And I know some of your story because we talk, but it was good to hear it in a different context. So just thanks again. I love you, brother.
Thanks so much for that message, Tony. And we'll go to Jennifer P next.
Hi there. Bravo, Dan. Thank you so much for that share. I think it was just last week I was asking you to do another audio share because there's only one. And now we'll have two. Thank you so much. When you talked about, my question is this, when you talked about gambling and or casino or arcades and games like that, starting out young, that really resonated with me because I can look back to those moments and thinking about the ones that I played were the only the ones that paid out a lot of tickets so I could either buy more or play more. And that was so young. So yeah, when you if someone argues the fact if that's not gambling to you, what do you say to that? Thank you.
Well, it's like the precursor to it, and it, because I had no other choice. I could have been, if I had a choice to gamble with real casinos, I would have done it. But since I couldn't, my compulsive mind and my compulsive gambling person that I am, the intensity of it all, I'm going to make a game. I'm going to find a place. I didn't belong in. I was too young. Those people were 30 years old, and they were embarrassed when I took all their money, But I had my ego back then was huge. So yes, it's a very slippery slope. There's the Monopoly game. Sometimes McDonald's gives out these little tickets or something, and maybe Vons or whatever. That's for me is a, I mean, anyhow, bad. I found a lottery ticket once, beautiful, brand new tickets, crisp as can be, 10 numbers on there, $2 each, $20. And I thought, well, a minute, hold on a second. So I didn't buy it. I didn't, and what? So I call him up. The guru, what do I do with this? Hope to God you don't win. You take that thing and you put it in a church collection box, or you throw it in the trash or the toilet, or you give it, or just do not do it. If you win, if you lose, it's the worst thing possible because it's a possibility for you to go back. And I don't listen to any kind of gambling things. If there's a commercial that comes on, because I don't watch that much live TV, but if a commercial on the radio or I see a, I just doesn't do it for me. No. The lot those monopoly things, no. Carnival games, I think one of our members talks about that. Carnival, or anywhere where there's this, I feel it when I know there's gambling involved. Otherwise, it's not worth it for me back then. Now everything is worth it for me except that. So I have to be very, some people can watch poker on TV. I can't, I don't want to. It's risky. I'm so sick of what that did to me, what it destroyed my family. It destroyed me and it did all this stuff. I don't want to even look at it anymore. And I can, I that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So I suggest that you be, it's very care. I have to be very careful that I don't get myself, get what they call, the juice is flowing literally, and that's going to be taking me back because I don't know, but I do know one thing. I have to stay away from anything that has to do with gambling. I'm just so sick of it. It's like poison to me. Somebody told me, look at it as poison, that will burn you. And it did burn me and it was poison. So it's a perfect analogy. Thank you for that, Jennifer. That was awesome. And congratulations to you as well. Have you come in the program, you progressed and you've come here and you, everybody that comes and gets help. And it makes my heart feel good when I see people succeed. And it hurts and it breaks my heart when people go out, But I break it again. Again, it makes my heart when I see them come back in again and they get the help they need. And thank you so much for your question.
Thanks for that. We don't have any hands up at the moment. If anybody wants to ask Dan a question directly, Hoku. Hoku, you'd like to ask Dan a question?
Thank you, Dan, for that beautiful share. You mean so much to me in this program. I couldn't have come into a better daily. And so for that, I thank you. And I just had one question. What part of stage 17 do you think works best for you?
That is a very good question. You're going to make me have to think about this for a bit. There's a lot on page 17. Ever since I came into the program, that was the page. If I could follow those directions, they're very simple. They're very, very articulate. I mean, you exactly know what's supposed to be. It says, I believe I can remember correctly, stay away from gambling establishments. Don't go in or near them. And that means in my establishment is in my head. Anything that has to do with gambling, number one, first of all, get a sponsor. It's difficult to, and I'm trying to remember, difficult to respond to recover on your own. And I realize it's very difficult sometimes to get a sponsor. And sometimes we give up on that, and we try because our ego gets hurt. I can't, and people just can't do it. They might have too many sponsees and wouldn't be able to give you the what you really deserve, to give you the real help. And or they're not ready themselves, or there's reasons. It's a higher power thing, or maybe you're not even ready at that point. But when the time comes, you will find the person you need. It's a higher power moment again. The person you need, not the person you want. And sometimes we're very picky about who we want, and because that's who we are. That's who I am. I want somebody that's really good. I want somebody that doesn't take off on Sunday. I have all these rules, which I should have none. I should be wide open to whatever comes and deal with it as it comes. So basically, yes, the sponsor is important. What else? Don't not important. I guess all that stuff on there is important. All of it. What's important to me is that I follow that page. And one thing might be okay today, and tomorrow another thing will come up. But that page has everything there. So if I, it's only one page. If I can do that, I'm good. Again, I jump around. One day I'm okay, one day I'm not. So one of those questions may okay today, but tomorrow might not be. Another might apply. And I'm so far, I don't have the combo book in front of me or anything, so I forgot the rest of them. But it's very important that you follow all of it. Me, at least for me. Thank you, Hoku, and appreciate all your help and your commitment to our meetings as well. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much for answering that. And we'll go to George C. next.
Dan, thank you for the share. I forgot we weren't sharing, so I'm just going to say this quickly. I hope you, do you know that there's another guy named George in the program that did about 98% of what you did? And that's my comment, and that's all. Okay? I don't want to make any comments. It's a question only, period. Thanks.
So do I know another? Do I know another Joe C that has done the things I've
George
done? Well,
C,
then
George C, the guy
and
you're
there's another
talking
George
to.
C that comes to the meeting. But
Yeah,
I'm
that's
just
what I'm
kidding. I know
trying to
it's
say. I'm
you.
trying to make a joke because
I
I don't
know,
want to hold you up.
but it and I try to make it back to you. See, I can't even give you that much. So George, you're absolutely right. You yourself, don't fool yourself. You give back to the program in your way. All of us do in our own way. And to be totally honest here, just being here right now, and shows that you have the willingness and the openness to get your help. It may not come right away, but it will come. It's up to you. It's really up to me. It was up to me. It took me so many, many, many years. And again, I'm one of the worst people. I have gone out so many times. And I have to be honest, I would come to meetings. How much longer? I had to stay. I had to stay, whatever, for whatever reason. As soon as the meeting was over, I was right back at the casino. But I didn't tell anybody that, but that's what I did. And I knew in my heart of hearts that I would end up back in these meetings. And that's why I try to keep the doors open. So when the time comes, it's there. So no, don't ever, I honestly believe you've been here a long time, George, and I respect you as much as you think. See, that's the whole thing. The confidence level will come back. And everything we do, there's a reason for it. And every one of us has a big part in this program. Every one of you has a part in my recovery. And you, George, you not only do you come to the meetings, don't forget, you are a host for many, many months. And I don't know how long that was. And you are always there. You always had to be to help. You got this big heart. And we all have big hearts. And we're all kind, gentle people. We got stuck with this craziness, but we can come out of it. And there's so much hope for us. That was the topic of the convention, hope. You know, and that's, we all have that. We just have to find it. Thank you so much, George, for being here.
Thank
And thank you
you.
both of you. Love you.
And thanks for that, George. And we'll go to Eula next.
Hello, everyone. This is Eula B. Compulsive Gambler. Grateful to be in recovery. Thanks, Dan. That was a beautiful life share. But I tried to follow you along the whole time, but for some reason I missed out on one of the things I was trying to hear, and that is my question to you. How did you get to the place where you no longer had desires or an inkling or a want or whatever you want to call it to go to the casino again? I had a sponsor. I know you guys say you need a sponsor, you can't do it like on your own. I had a volunteer sponsor, but when I had after that person volunteered to be my sponsor and I had my first slip, I call it slip. It was for 4 or 5 hours. You guys might call it a relapse, but I lost my sponsor. My sponsor kicked me to the curb, but that was okay because I still had my mentor, which was Frank. And I kept coming to the meeting, to the meetings, just like you said, you would go to the casino and then still come to the meeting. And that's kind of what I did that day. I was at the casino 4 or 5 hours, but the next day I was right back in the meeting. I never stopped coming to the meeting. I had a couple of slips, but I still kept coming to the meeting. And that's what Frank had told me. That's one good thing, Eula, that you did, was you never stopped coming to the meeting. But I would like to know, how long did it take you to stop feeling the desire or the inkling to go to the casino? And how did you get rid of those desires? Thank you again for your share. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent question, Eula. That's one of the best questions because, you know, I struggled and I'd like to talk for others, but I'm sure there's some of us here that are struggling right now or are in long time in the program, but still come with struggles and those urges, those feelings, that pull that wants to take you back there. You know, it's so strong and I completely understand it. It's what kept me gambling for 40 or 38 years of my life, and I gave up everything for it. So how did it ever go away, right? How does that even happen? When we talk about, you know, it's almost too much. So let me go another way. First of all, I was so sick and tired, and I was so disgusted after the last losses and everything else. And when I saw that things were getting, and then in the suicide, it's a tough one, you know. And that's the one that, you know, I can't go yet. I've got responsibilities. My mom, God bless her, she's going to be 88 soon. I'm her caregiver. Not that I take care of her, but I'm there with her. I'm whatever she needs. And God bless her, she's healthy, probably more healthy than I am, you know. And she's going to probably, and she needs me. My son still needs me. And that was the best part of it. I forgot about that. You know, my son and I love each other today. There's not a one time that we talk and see each other that the hugs and big, I love you, Dad. That wasn't that way before, you know. And that took a long time to get that. But so, yes, it took me a while. Even after I was so disgusted and I've had it, it still came back. Oh, you know, just one more time. Screw that. Oh, forget that. Not one more time. No more time. It's done. And it probably took about a year and a half. completely. And it still comes back once in a great while. And when I go to the 7-Eleven to get my coffee, there's alcohol on one side, there's cigarettes on the other side, and there's gambling right in the middle, the lottery, the tickets, the scratchers. I promise you, God's my witness, I don't even look anymore. And when I used to walk in, that's the first thing I looked at. And I was like feeling that. So it took a while. And it was the praying, it was the program, but it eventually came. And today I don't have the urge to gamble right now. That does not guarantee that an hour from now or tomorrow it won't come back. But that's why I have Adam, Andy, George, Huku, Benjamin. I have all these people I can reach out to because I know what's going to happen to me. And they're going to say, "What you talking about?" They're going to try to talk me down. I'm not any better. I'm still a little bit wacko once in a while, and I have to be careful. Because if I lose it, there's no going back from you anymore, and I will end up in the ground, and I don't want to go there. Nobody deserves that. So thank you for that great question, Yula. And the time will come. But I'll tell you last thing: how, who has the power to for the results? I'm not talking about anything else. The results, like today, we had it all set up, but the results is in the higher power's hand, and the higher power will take that from you when and where and when he's ready. And it's going to happen when he wants to. But in the meantime, we have to have the faith and the trust to continue coming and to give, not to give in, to make those phone calls and do anything but gamble. And the time will come. It will come. I guarantee this, Lula. Just hang in there. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
Dan.
you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll go to Benjamin W next.
Everybody. My name's Ben W, recovering compulsive gambler. And Dan, I just want to jump on real quick and first of all say thank you. When I initially was getting into the program back in March, I found this meeting, and when I would get on it and you would be on the meeting, I would feel comforted. It was like a friendly face, And early on, I was really grasping for something relate to or just anything along those lines when I was essentially at question 20, that's where I was. I guess my question to you would be as far as giving back service and helping keep the room safe, and how has that helped you in your recovery? Because I think I've identified that as something that down the line that I would like to do as well. I have my in-person meeting tonight. I was even going to bring it up to them and see if there's anything I could do. But yeah, anyways, thanks for everything and appreciate it.
That's a great question, Benjamin. And I'm so happy you're here. And so basically, yeah, what is recovery? I mean, what is being in the service and how does that help? Well, my gosh. First of all, it takes me out of myself. The longer I stay with my own mind and everything, I usually don't, it doesn't do me any good. So me helping others helps me tremendously, but that's kind of selfish. And I don't think anybody should know that because, but it's true. It really is true. I mean, I look at my sponsor and the peace he has in him. I wish for that one day. I'm not even close to that yet. I've got so far to go. I wish I could say that I'm good and I'm done and I'm finished and I can graduate and move on, But I still get in this thing that, maybe after all these years, maybe I can gamble normally again, because that says it in the book. Our greatest obsession is that we would gamble normally again, whatever it is, some kind of saying like that. And I still sometimes go there. Not that I want to go, but it's like, maybe I'm better now. After all I've done and everything, I can. So the mind is still there. So by helping others, it reminds me of what I've been through. I can see the pain again, and I can feel it myself, and I know what that's like, and I can do so then. But it's not like I'm helping others. They have to help themselves. All I am is the guide and the direction. Sometimes I go overboard with that too, and it's too much. I try to do everything and try to put everything together for them because the controlling part of me as well, because I want them to succeed, and then I don't think they're moving fast enough, and they need to do this or that. So by doing this, it takes me out of the picture, sort of thing. And now it's not so much about me; it's about somebody else, and I have to spread the message. But when I go through the steps with somebody again, or I go, and I've done it twice now. It changes a little bit, and part of me opens up because I don't make somebody go through the steps. I do it together. because that's what it's about. And then every question, and then we have questions. We together look and research, and we together do it together. It's not I'm directing or anything else. So many times, that person's helping me. Unbelievable, you know? And if I didn't have them around, I would be in bad shape as well. So it goes both ways. But the easiest question to answer is, it's part of what makes this program work. Because the selfishness I had before was all about me and take and take and take. It becomes, it makes my life, by helping somebody else, it makes me a person that I really should be. I'm not that person that takes anymore. I'm the person that gives. The mentality change of that alone will keep me away from doing something like going gambling. Because now I've got somebody I'm responsible in a way for, I think, you know, and how can I come back and say to, you know, we're in the middle of doing nothing, but I decided to go away. I'm supposed to show the example. That's why these numbers matter. 20 years, 5 years, whatever. It matters because it's a witness. It shows somebody that, look, me, I got 5 years, you know, and if I can do it, you can definitely do it because I'm completely out there. So that's what it's helping somebody else by helping myself. And it's the gratitude, helping others, doing this. There's, you know, there's a few things that we have in our toolbox, but that is up there right on top. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It could just be a phone call. Hey, you know, I just listened to your share, you know, because we don't talk about what we hear, you know, keep it here, right? We don't talk about what happens here. But I was here in the meeting with you, whoever, and I heard you, you know, and I just had to call and say, I kind of related to that, or, hey, I just want to talk to you. Are you okay? Do you have to, you know, or, you know, maybe I have something I need to talk to, but you have to connect with one another. Connection, again, here's all these sayings, these cliches. Connection is the opposite of addiction, you know? So that's why that's so important. Thank you again for that great question. And thank you for being here, Benjamin. I wish you all the best, but not only wish you all the best, let's get the work done and let's get better. You know, wishing is one thing, action is another. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Benjamin, for that question. And we'll go to Mertzi next.
Thank you. Hi, Dan. I'm Mert, compulsive gambler. It's been 12 days since my last bet. And I want to say, I've never been to a casino. We don't have casinos in my own country, but I've always, you know, did sports bet, and my phone was my casino. And like, when I just open the phone and, you know, get my mobile bank app, I always get the urges, and I feel like, I don't know, like my casino is always with me, and it's in my pocket. And when I get the urge, it's like very hard for me to not gamble. I get it for the last 12 days. I controlled it, but I don't know if I will be able to do it in the future. And like, well, what can you say about that? And I don't know, how will I do it? Thank you.
That's a tough one. And the first thing I can say about it, in the beginning, I had to, you know, I didn't actually, but I know so many that have. We have to give control of our money up. One of the most difficult things to do as a compulsive gambler, if we have any money to give up, but whatever it is, it cannot be, I lost control of it. I have no way to do it. I know people in the program that started like that, and 20 years later, they're still doing it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Somebody else is handling it. Thank God, help. Thank you for that you're doing that for me. I don't need it because that's our drug. That was my drug. If I'm a cocaine addict and I had cocaine there with me, but I know I'm not supposed to use it because I'm a cocaine addict and I'm in recovery. Well, it's too tempting for me. It's there. And I might be able to walk away and get away from it, but I'm going to come back. It's there. And I'm going to try to sleep. It's there. Just like with anything else, with some other items or whatever that you can't handle, it's going to handle you. And when you can't handle, when it takes over and you're handling you, it has to be away. It has to go away from us, a distance away. Not only the money, the commercials, all that other stuff. So if it's possible, and the thing is, oh, I can't do that because they might take it, they might steal it. I'm not, you know, you're going to lose it anyway. At least this way you have a chance, you know, that you might have some of it and your recovery continues with that. So it's so important, Mert, if you can get rid of it. And again, I'm not saying you have to do anything. This is all suggestions on my part. And I can only give what I've learned from somebody else in this program, and they told me the same thing. And I tell my people that I try to help with as well, and they don't. Some of them don't want it, and the tragedy comes. They're unable to control it, and they go back out again, and then they come back. I should have done what you said. Well, we have another opportunity. It's not over. We get another chance at this. And just because I relapsed so many times, just because we relapse doesn't mean it's over. It means that we're going to learn from this. We're going to take from what happened, and we're not going to make the same mistake again. And I forgot to and so that's what I do with that. Now, Yula, if you're still here, you went out, you came back in. Your sponsor decided that it's over between the two of you. Okay, well, it wasn't meant to begin with, if that's the case. And there's something better for you out there. There's going to be someone else that's going to be even better, that's going to be understanding maybe more. Whatever they've got to understand, we're all addicts. I'm an addict too. Well, I'm going through issues. So sometimes we depend on these people so much and we forget what they're going through. It's the biggest saying out there, be kind to everyone. Be kind to everyone. You have no idea what they're going through. Sometimes we keep it to ourselves. We don't say anything because we don't want to be, but we suffer and struggle inside with so much pain. And then somebody comes around and just lets us go like that. That's not right, So, and who am I to say what's right or wrong? But when something doesn't go right, there's a reason for it. There's a lesson to be learned, and there's something that's going to happen better. So I hope that helped. And keep coming back. You can always call me. I'm here. And please call me before you go out. That's the thing, Mert. And 12 days. When you came in, I was here, and you've come almost every meeting, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm so proud of you that you have this ability to keep coming back. It's not easy. You're a young gentleman, and that shouldn't matter, but it does matter. You have an opportunity to not be like me, to come in at this young age and be able to be family, friend. I mean, to do something with your life. I'm not saying I didn't do anything with it. I just destroyed it, that's all. And I'm taking it back now. The fourth quarter, I'm trying to make it better. Best I can. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I'm going over the time again. But it's okay, because it's okay to make mistakes. That's how we learn. As long as you don't make mistake to go out, make other mistakes and just keep coming here by accident. That'd be something. So thank you, Mert. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Matt, for the question. We don't really have any time left for another question at the moment, but personally, I'd like to thank Dan for his contribution to the meeting today. It's been a fantastic meeting. I've really enjoyed it.